Blog Talk Radio.
Hour day type flow shit.
Boost the 48 hour a day type of MVP. Yo, keep the system hot up for the key. It's rolling like a rip better than most G. Go for your brain till you're coming. Boost the 48 hour a day type of MVP. Yo, keep the system hot.
When the ginger ale, but never fall, tag it around like pinball. Never with the ball, I can't make it to this age to perform a song. Come on, distracted by the still when the song, I better focus. Haters wanna swarm like locusts. When I'm about to work, somebody said I'm broke. See if he's fucking set, man, throw it up. Throw my boys out the spot and we'll blow it up. Got weed in your bag, better roll it up. For my spot, come back, then you out of luck. Plus I never give a damn about y'all, cause y'all never really were my dogs. The rest of you suckers were my pawns. Find yourself waking up in the middle with a long haul. Press with the chest and stone or break bones or break bread. With all the voices on my head, a crackpot who slap shot, shot out the asphalt. They'll be coming for you, better take it out of knives. Living life like a video game with one man. I want a guy move with a master plan. If I like it, then I'll shake your hand and say a stand. Close enough to all get mistaken for rock bands. Move up, man, low don't peel out. We all in this bitch for a record deal now. CFG is everlasting. Just drop the beat, now I'm looking for some action. Will I find some satisfaction? Load to get right with a fat rap track, man. Put us off a night. If it ain't done right, then I put it on your shit tonight.
I walked across the land, but you were holding your name. When I swore before you that my gift would carry on with the flame. And I feel the pain of all my brothers, all of my friends with the light. I'm just focused on doing what I gotta do to stay right. Better than us, there ain't many. So get a rock star, so steady sippin' on Henny. With you, past plenty of foes and whack rappers. Look deep in my eyes and you see what I'm after. The mask seems simple to me and should you. We ain't cool, I'm gonna ride and bounce you. I still walk through streets of old hoods. I see my old friends, they bust to no good. But I still got love, y'all just can't learn. And I hear bullshit everywhere I turn. I know it's the second round I'm gonna get burned. But you still family, even though you turn. I can't judge nobody on like he say, she say. Passwords, I'm just getting off the freeway. Don't man, please, I wanna smoke. Hurry up with the sticky, cause I wanna choke. I wanna get high when I drop this song.
Ever since I had sex back in the day with a sorceress, a fraction of my soul's been missing. This bitch is torturous. A withering side with a slithering hide. Life's ripples inside the river, but gone in the blink of an eye. I kiss the mouth of madness, why do I mean mug the air? There's fallen angels in my ear speaking evil when I don't want them there. I spoke to ministers, they say my aura's sinister. Go find yourself a virgin. My energies of daylight passing reality free. Frequent panic attacks attempt to render me a slave. Now I'm standing on the balcony, armed with a sniper rifle, with a vest full of explosive and little chance for survival. Life is my rival, I'll free you from your denial. Relieve you from your existence after adjusting the dial. Here's the slaughtering hope child. Whenever they go profile, they say the low is just broken. Open up to the most vile.
Murder, 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 murder. Kill, kill.
Yo,
now you're finally
I'm in a race like greater than leaving debris from the quickening. Stricken with explosive emotions like nitroglycerin. Plot thickens, my journey's akin to a prophet's ascension. Forging a masterwork out of shambles over sampled dimensions. My pen is mighty in the vessel of my mind's escape. The page will be...
Mic check.
Mic check, mic check. 1, 2. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, we were having some technical difficulties, y'all.
Yeah, I just want to go on record as saying when I called into the show, this is like the third, fourth time to get connected, that there is a conspiracy that must be in effect in the state of Iowa, which is where it says this number is going to. And the only other people that I could think of that are worth a fuck from that horrifying state are Slipknot. And Corey Taylor is the lead singer of them, and he's trying his hand at rap now. So I'm going to put out a diss song against Slipknot and sample their own shit. So fuck Iowa. That being said, what up, bro?
Did Ted Cruz win Iowa? Is that it? Fucking years
ago. Ted Cruz is honestly one of my heroes because that dude, when he gets an idea, will go straight into the rafters with it. And I always approve of people that are characters. And I'm like, man, Ted Cruz should run for president. I know he's like Mexican or Latino or something like that. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? I've watched him just tear into people, and I'm like, all right, man, now all you need as your manager is Ben Shapiro, because that is my favorite little Jewish dude. You can't win an argument with him, and that's just priceless. I study him.
You study him.
I mean, for real, facts over feelings. I support that motto completely.
Yeah, I cut the medley short. That was even longer for those listening. You can hear more of Lowe's music all over the fucking interwebs and everything. But I wanted, did you talk to Jeremy today? Because I haven't heard from him today. You know, XL.
I got a message, and it is thus. I shared the initial show with him. I don't think he caught it. He saw the thumbnail from me and Save Your Souls Back to the Rhyme, and he was like, oh, Beavis and Butthead. He was like, yeah. And his response was, and I quote, fork them. Which, you know, to the uninitiated and those that don't soak their brain in jars of alcohol daily, that means he was looking forward to it, and he can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, you know, it'd be nice if he'd call in, you know, but he's probably out eating shit somewhere, like he always does. You remember that one time he came over? He said, yeah, he ate all the shit. I was so pissed off.
Well, you know, and me and him are in agreement. You know, I don't approve of some of his extracurricular activities, you know, but as it is, man, I don't pick my friends. You know, I pick my nose. So.
Yeah, he's a... when did you meet him? I met him in 95. He was friends, of course, with Toboggan Beanie, who I met first.
Yeah, I actually met Jeremy. We're the same age. I met him all the way back when we were 17, back when he was not extra large then. He was known as the Hitman.
Oh, is and, that why he says that on Barracuda Big Fish? I didn't know that.
Yes, yes. He was, that was back when, shit, I was still in high school, man. I was a sophomore for the second time. My dad told me, you know, he's like, most people go to college for 8 years to get a degree. You're just going to master high school by going through every grade twice. You know, so I was actually going to Franklin Heights at the time. And, you know, listening to my dad, who was a drummer, you know, he'd walk around when he wasn't playing on the drums, he'd be beatboxing, and he didn't know what beatboxing was. And I'd be following around spitting bars and stuff, and, you know, he didn't really take it serious. And, you know, I had went to school, and the school talent show, Joe Steele was the first rapper that I met that would end up sending me down this path to assembling CFG's members and stuff. So Joe Steele had this buddy, Jason Dotson. It was Joe Steele went by Q-Ball, even though he wasn't bald at the time. I'm not quite sure what that was about. Maybe he was a billiards fan or whatnot.
Right.
And Jay Dotson actually was going to perform in the talent show for that year, 1994. And they wouldn't let Jay Dotson perform with Joey. And Joe, like, I was up there, man. But talk about a train wreck of a song, man. These guys knew that I could rap. I didn't know that Joey could rap. I hadn't met him yet. But I saw him and Jay Dotson perform, and I'm like, oh, man, look, man, there's two other white dudes rapping stuff that don't even know me, so it really has no significance, but I like their stuff, you know. And I had hooked up with these two dudes. I can't even remember their names, man. They were cool dudes, though. But, you know, it was we did this song like Trouble Neck, and it was some other gangster rap group's record, and they had it on vinyl. You know, that was back when we were still rocking that stuff. And these guys were, they were not good. I'll put it that way. And, I mean, you know, I've recorded songs with people that had no business on a mic, you know, and it's cool because they'll go play it for all their friends. Like, look, man, I did a song with the Low and stuff like that. It's like, the who? You know, it's like the Low, not for the Low, but the Low. you know, and they'll be happy. Yeah, man, when Smiley fucking recorded that, I told him probably 20 times, I was like, dude, it's not For the Low, it's just The Low, it's an acronym, you know, Truth, Harmony, and Artillery from a legendary one. And he was like, yeah, he still recorded it anyway. So, you know, the first song me and him done, I brought For the Low with me, you know. You know, just smile and nod, you know, situation like that, man. It took a minute for him to get it, but, you know, it's cool.
I love people whose rap name is a sentence.
I've met a bunch of people running around. They changed their nicknames to cities. Like, you know, I know a New York, L.A., who had beef, ironically. It's like it's Pac and Biggie fans. You know? And,
so you knew a guy named L.A.?
Yeah. It was like, you know, I was just like, but, yeah, I derail myself frequently. It's cool. But, you know, Joey heard the horrible rap that these guys were doing, and he was like, he just come up to me after school and was like, hey, I like your stuff. And I was like, you know what, I like your stuff too. And he's like, they're not going to let my buddy Jason rap with me in the talent show. Do you want to do something with me? And I was like, sure, why not? Because, you know, you're good. And so after school, he's like, I just live like two blocks away from the school. So I walked with him to his house. He gives me my first turntable. And I don't think it was intended to be used as a DJ scratching vinyl and stuff like that, because I probably tore up 12, 13 records that my grandpa had, and he was not pleased about it, you know. But I was like, man, I got to get my DJ skills on, you know. So I'm up here just fucking up records and shit. You know, coming down there like, man, I'm sure there's something, you know, on Waylon Jennings' album that I can catch just a sample, a few seconds, and I'm going to figure out how to loop this, man. I had no idea what the fuck I was doing, you know. But I'm steady down there looking the part, you know, but I only have one turntable, so I was like, man, this don't look right, man. I got to get me another one, you know. And we ended up performing and, you know, becoming friends. And then he took me to Jay Dodson's house, and I got to kick it with him. He was Valentino the Romantic Mobster. Let that soak in for a minute. You know, and I was like, man, I don't question people with Italian heritage, because there is just the off chance that they belong to the mafia, you know, and they take that stuff quite seriously. So Jay and Joey ended up taking me to meet who would become XL. They took me to Jeremy's house, you know, and Jeremy, this is when the TS-12 or TS-10 keyboard that he had that we all know well, it's like an antique now, he just got that, and we didn't know how to quantize with it yet. So, like, meticulously, every beat that was made on that was played by hand, you know, just like with an external metronome that Jeremy had. And, I mean, it was awesome. And we ended up, you know, forming the Underground Cartel. That was a Jay Dodson principle there. And I was like, man, we're not a one of us is gangster. So what the fuck kind of cartel are we going to be, you know? And he's like, it's just a rap name. We're underground with it. And I was like, all right, man, fuck it. I'll roll with it. Ended up, Jay got mad. I'm trying to remember. We was going to a professional studio to record one song. And Jay got mad at us because we were clowning on him, like, you know, doing what we do, just roasting each other. And he took it something serious. And while the other three of us were asleep before the studio, he deletes the beat that Jeremy had made and disappears. He took off. And then we wake up, and me, Joey, and Jeremy are like, well, what the fuck, man? He deleted the beat too? That's some hater shit. So Jeremy had to come up with a beat on the fly, and he pulled it off, man. But it ended up being, instead of the knocking ass hip hop beat that we previously had, it's now like sounding more like an R&B session. and none of one of us were singing about love songs or anything like that. All our verses is like knocking hip hop, like I'm gonna kick your head off, motherfucker, and, you know, to a love song sounded beat. And we end up going to this professional studio, and we're in there. It was my first time in a professional studio, you know, all of ours, actually. And we go up in there, you know what I'm saying, looking like an after-school special, you know, and we come up in there and just trying to sound extra hard on it, and ended up calling ourselves Third Degree, you know, just for that song, though. That was very short-lived. And it was the first time, you know, I had ever got to actually record something. And I'm like, yeah, I was all proud of it until, you know, I really sat and thought about it. And they're like, man, you guys' verses just don't belong on that beat. I'm like, I don't care. It's a professional song. Yeah. You know, Third Degree. And then I was like, it's kind of lame. Yeah.
So you have that, you're connected with Excel then. So when do Beanie and Brian and Sandman come in?
Well, okay. After, like, I remained friends with those three, Joey and Jay ended up moving out of state. You know, me and Jeremy still kicking it and stuff like that. So my cousins ended up going to Grove City, and they knew, you know, a couple chicks there and stuff like that. Well, it was at this party that they told me they had run across a couple dudes that rapped. And I'm like, well, okay. Well, I'm on a search to build a team for a special mission, you know. So I end up going to this party, and I meet Beanie and Toboggan. And I'm like, man, I'm just thinking to myself, what kind of a fucking name is Beanie or Toboggan, man? They're like headgear, man. You know, and I believe, honestly, that if I'm remembering correctly, that was what they went by. That was their duo name, headgear, you know?
Yeah, Toboggan and Bean, yeah. Interesting choice,
and,
I suppose.
You know, back then I was very, very cocky when it came to rap, you know, because there was, you know, I was like, yeah, I'm getting pretty good at this shit, you know what I'm saying? And I was battling all kinds of people. Anywhere somebody said they rap, oh, you rap? Yep. Let me hear you first. You got bars? I got bars like a prison system. So, you know, egos galore, and, you know, we're all drinking and stuff like that, and I'm like, all right, let me hear what you guys got. So Beanie's like breaking down some hip hop, and Beanie's style has never changed, man. He's classic. I love his shit, you know. And Toboggan is like off the rails and stuff like that. And Toboggan's looking at me shifty the whole time, like, all right, because, you know, I'm jeans and T-shirt. That's my uniform, just like Jeremy, you know. And these guys are like all extra baggy pants and sagging and stuff like that. And I'm like, all right, you may be trying a little too hard on the visuals, but okay, you know, you both got skills. I got this dude that makes beats. I'd like to introduce him to you. So I go back and I'm like, all right, man, you know, these guys, I'm undecided about them yet. You know what I'm saying? They were both very, very cocky. You know what I'm saying? But I was too. It's like two mountain goats running up the hill and busting each other in the head, you know. We was going at it for a minute. And I don't think they really appreciated the style that I brought to the table at first, you know, because they're like, man, you're using big words and metaphors and all this, and I have no fucking idea what you're talking about. And I'm like, well, if you need me to break it down, I will, you know. And, you know, I always had the deep voice that I got and stuff like that, but any rapper that came out during the, you know, early to mid-90s and stuff like that, I was on it. Just like everybody else, Naughty by Nature, Nas, you know what I'm saying? Even coming across so far as I picked up this cassette, that was back when, before cassettes went out, Apache. I don't know if you remember that guy, man, but he really did not like white folks. I understand.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, he was on there like, you know, fuck whitey and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, Jesus, man, this dude is just harsh, but, you know, kind of got an appeal to it, man. He's got some bars, you know, like six, but, you know, I still kind of dig it, man. I'm, you know, and, you know, I ended up getting a hold of Jeremy, and I'm like, Jeremy, you got to come out to Grove City and check these dudes out. And Jeremy's like, all right, man, you know, whatever. So we end up, like, I find this other party that they're going to be at, and I hit him up. I'm like, yeah, man, my dude that makes beats, and you know, he also raps. He wants to meet you guys, so I'm going to bring him out here. So I do. And somehow there ends up being a you got served moment, and Beanie and Brian are, like, trying to break dance. It was very entertaining to watch because they were rappers first and not at all break dancers, you know, but they were getting their shuffle on, and that was kind of cool. You know, we was having fun, and,
might've been brought to us by
like
Double
Jeremy,
Deuces.
This was before Double Deuces, actually. I mean, Toboggan was, you know, heavily under the influence of many Double Deuces, but, you know, I guess that's where that song came from. You know, Tropical Mango Juices. That was, his favorite drink. And,
yeah,
you know, like I said, you know, we all hit it off and stuff like that, but I wasn't done. You know, I was like, man, I need to bring more to the table, you know, and, Jeremy starts kicking it with him and stuff like that. And, you know, more frequently without me. And at first I felt some type of way, but looking back, I'm just like, oh, I was off doing my own thing. Anyways, I was on a recruiting spree, you know. I was searching under rocks and behind trees. And it was like, oh, there's white rappers around here? Let me hear them, you know. And it wasn't honestly about color or anything like that, but it ended up being that our entire squad was white, and we were like the white Wu-Tang. And
this was back when it was rare. This wasn't
yeah,
like it is
yeah,
today.
There was no Eminem yet, you know. There was Beastie Boys and Vanilla Ice and House of Pain. That was it.
You weren't influenced by them, you weren't doing it.
Right. Oh, and I forgot that one other white dude from New Jersey, you know, the city of trash, Milkbone. You remember him?
Yeah, he had a song, Keep It Real,
yeah,
in one video.
I'm on a quest to crush Milkbone, I'm everlasting. So, it ends up in my neighborhood over in what was then Shannon Way. It's now Havenwood. It's across from the casino. I lived there for like 9 years. I think there was a certain number of bodies that they would find until they changed the name, because it was like Shannon Way, then Darby Woods, and then, you know, changed the name again. I'm like, man, you gangsters is over around here. And you wouldn't think that there would be gangsters in, you know, a low-budget apartment complex across, you know, in that area. But there was, you know. And I met Jay Skeens, man. He was always – he's never grown since he was 14. Like, I don't know, pituitary issue or whatnot, you know. He was always like, I took him up under my wing, like he was rowdy and cocky and shit like that. And I was like, man, this dude's something. But, you know, like he was fighting every day, man. If you were small and white in the neighborhood, you were fighting because people was always trying to jump you. And I come across him and he was about to fight Victor Hazard. And I don't even remember why, but, you know, I was cool with both of them. I knew everybody in the neighborhood knew me. I'm the biggest white motherfucker there was. So I'm like, all right, day one, I'd known him like 10 minutes, you know. I was on my regiment of 1440s a day religiously, and that's not a joke. I literally drank at least 1440s a day, you know, just to get my vitamins and minerals and stuff, you know.
That's so, more than El Duce drinks, for God's sake.
He's a bitch. But, you know, I told Jason's like, man, he's like, you a big motherfucker. And I was like, yeah, I heard, man, you was trying to fight somebody or something, you know. And I was like, the dude you're trying to fight, Victor, is a good friend of mine. And he was, Victor was like my cousin Alan Payne, who ended up joining the group. He's like best friends with him, you know, and we all went to the same school and shit. So I'm like, you know what, man? I'm going to go down here with you because this hood, you know, is a little bit rough. If you're not from around here and you just moved in here, then you might get jumped. So I'm going to go down here and make sure nobody jumps in because I know everybody. So we go down there, and it became like a UFC fight because from out of nowhere there ends up being like a crowd of like 20, 25 people. And I'm like, oh, well, this is going to be interesting. I might get challenged on this one. So Jason and, like, Victor, they go at each other, and they end up in a wrestling match and stuff like that. And I'm like, all right, man, you guys are done, man. This is boring to watch. You know, ain't no fists being thrown. It's like you're wrestling around talking shit. So I'm like, all right, you guys break it up and stuff like that. So, you know, I don't know whatever became of that. But from that point forward, I was like, Jay, you roll with me, you know, because he was like, hell yeah, you know what I'm saying? And then I found out that he was an aspiring rapper, and I was listening to his bars and stuff. He's a little rough around the edges, but I was like, you know what, man, you're going to be my protege. I'm going to work with you. You know, you got potential here. And then he got addicted to gangster rap and gravitated towards that, and then started being a gangster. And I was like, man, you too little, man. You trying to hold guns that are bigger than you are, but have at it, my friend. And then I'm like, all right, I got to introduce you to the rest of the group. So I took I remember I brought Jeremy over to Sandman's house, and Rocky, who was not a rapper but talked shit like he was. I was like, man, I never really got along with him back in the day, but Jeremy and Rocco showed up, and I introduced them to Sandman, and Jeremy's like, well, hell yeah, you weren't joking when you said this dude's got potential, so let's work with him. So, you know, Jay comes in, and this is when Jeremy lived over in off of Demarest in what he affectionately called the shoebox, because, you know, his apartment wasn't much bigger than that. You know, two rooms, a weight bench, and a couch, and a counter big enough to do drugs with, you know. And that was when Maxell tapes were the thing, you know, and we didn't have the ability to record digitally. It was straight analog. You know, you got one shot. The beat starts playing. You better be able to rap your entire song on cassette in one take.
Yeah.
And it was good. It was good practice. You know what I'm saying? And my cousin Alan, the whole time, you know, he was like, he didn't really want to be a famous rapper or anything, but he could rap good, especially freestyle. His writing was but freestyle, yeah, long-winded. He literally filled up both sides of a cassette tape freestyling. And I was like, well, that's a 60-minute freestyle, man. I think you got the record there, brother. And, you know, he ends up meeting Beanie. And, like, we ended up at our house in the basement on Alkire Road. We had a room down there, put black lights up, and we had this big round table. And everybody that came over there, Beanie, Brian, Jeremy, all of us, if you came over there, we was bumping rap beats. It didn't matter whose it was. We all just freestyled around the table. And that was how it all began, with the ciphers between all of us. Everybody spits four bars, and the next person that goes first bar is going off the previous person's last bar. And we did that for months and months and months. And we all started getting really good at going off of each other's styles. And then the whole time we start recording, when we got the ability to record digitally, man, it was curtains, man. It was, we were just knocking out shit, you know. And then I met RC. Well, I'd known RC in the background for a long time, but he is strictly old school rap. And a lot of the new school rappers just don't really get it. They're like, man, that's generic rhyming. And I'm like, man, you better watch your mouth, because if you think I'm explosive, I'll tell you right now, Beastie Boys, Houdini, Run DMC, and Curtis Blow were my teachers. And that's who I developed my original bass style from, you know. And when Wu-Tang came out, me and RC had written a couple albums, and we had a falling out. It was stupid, but we fell out with actually RC fell out with Beanie, but we had already decided that we were going to Atlanta, Georgia, and me and RC took off. And then, you know, that was kind of like severing myself from CFG. And I'm like, man, you know what, man, these guys don't really take me serious anyways. And I felt like I was kind of pushed out the circle. And I'm like, man, I built this fucking team. You know, I'm just as good as anybody else in it, you know. But, you know,
I would get tapes from Beanie of all the CFG. I would get tapes, and there would be – you would be on them, all these songs and other people. But then the album came out, and there were just four people on the album. So that's maybe something we can get into next time. You're on part two with the low.
Right. I mean,